What's going on, gang? Welcome to a brand new Tuesday episode of the Lev Fur Show. It's been a minute. It's been a fucking minute. Let's catch up. If you're watching this on YouTube, please take a second to subscribe. If you're not watching this on YouTube, go subscribe to the fucking YouTube. We're at almost at 900 subscribers. Once we hit 1,000, we become partners. Your boy is back. I've got some renewed energy. We got a lot to talk about. I'm excited, man. I'm fucking excited. I feel like so much has gone on. It's been a few weeks since we did an episode. I've been getting messages, you know, like, now that comedy's back, have you retired from podcasting? Of fucking course not. Of course not. You know what it is for like so long I've had to do 2 episodes of the show a week. And usually it's like somewhere between 40 minutes to an hour twice a week, you know. It starts becoming a lot. You know what I mean? All of a sudden you're missing a Patreon episode. It's just a lot. It's a lot of stuff to try to pretend is interesting in your life for a fucking hour and a half a week. So I want to bring in a producer. I want to start, I'm reaching out to a lot of people. I'm booking guests. Have more content ideas. Like actually run it like a full-fledged, you know, thing. So I'm reaching out to people. But I just felt like, you know, I was like, God, I had a ton of shit to deal with in my personal life. But B, I was like, man, I don't want the podcast to be, hey, I just hit record and I'm like, all right, let me find something to talk about just to fill this time. Cause then it's like, what's the point of saying anything? You know what I mean? Like, and I guess with any podcast, you're going to have some weeks where that's the case, but I just felt like, yeah, I was in this place where I was like, I want to do something creative enough that I actually want to say the things that I'm saying. If I have a take on something, I want to say it. You know, I don't want to just hit record and go and be looking at the clock and going, oh, fuck, it's only 33 minutes now. So I don't know if the show is going to transition to being like half hour episodes. It's going to be a process to figure it out. The show will evolve, you know what I mean? I feel like the show should evolve and change over time to get like more specific and more of what I want it to be. And this is one of those phases. This is one of those fucking phases. I mean, you think about what the show was originally. If you're here from the Young Daddy days when the show was a fucking hot 21-year-old kid that the whole industry wanted to fuck. And I'm just like, I just done a popular chick podcast, and now all of a sudden I'm banging like, you know, other 21-year-olds every night. And like, it was basically, the podcast used to be like a sex journal, and then I'd occasionally bring on fun friends. And then you get a little older and you're like, ugh, there's all these stories of me fucking just hooking up with random chicks. I've had, you know, it's just gross. I don't know. You get older, you're like, this is kind of disgusting. I don't know. It's like fun in a way, but, and you want to hear other people's, like, you know, stories, but then you're like, man, I was 21 just talking about pussy. Like, that was the whole show. So, you know, the show's got to grow. It's got to grow with me. Is that reasonable? Shout out to the fucking real ones. The Patreon has been standing strong. Shout out to Malik, a new patron, and Tommy D, man. This guy said the funniest thing. We didn't upload a fucking premium episode for like 3 weeks, and he had just pledged to the Patreon then, and then he went, got 3 weeks and nothing. He came in at $5 a month, and then he re-upped his pledge and was like, all right, I'm going to $10 a month just because I respect the shit out of the fact that you're charging all of us and giving us nothing. That's a fucking dope move. I thought that was so funny that he said that. I'm like, Tom, I'm going through a creative crisis. Just relax, you know? So shout out to him. Shout out to everybody that has been supporting the show. even during our short hiatus. I just, like, I want to come at you guys with a purpose. You know what I mean? Because, like, otherwise, if I'm just scrambling for a fucking hour and a half a week to find something to say, it's like, I don't want to waste your time with that either. You know what I mean? So, but I feel good. I feel good just hitting record, just being back with you guys. We really do have a lot to fucking get into today. You know, we did the last, goddamn, it's been so fucking long. The last Left Friend Friends happened. We had a great turnout. Shout out to everybody that came out to that show. It was, as always, such a fucking fun show. So much fun. We're doing the next one on October 27th. It's going to be a Halloween edition. It's going to be a lot of fun. Maybe I'll dress up. Is that going to be me? Am I the dress up for Halloween shows guy now? But that's October 27th. If you're in New York City, just don't even think about it. Just get your tickets right now. It's going to be in my Instagram link. Grab your tickets. That show is always so goddamn fun. It's at the Stand Wednesday night, the 27th, the 10 o'clock show. You know we like to do a late night vibe. It's going to be great. I'm almost done booking the lineup. You know, I'm always trying to get you guys the best acts on that. So, yeah. And also, if you have an email, send it to the show, thelevfirstshow@gmail.com. We're going to close out this episode with a Patreon segment. We got an email from one of our top patrons. We're going to dive into it. We're going to do that, catch up a little bit about me and my personal shit. So we're going to cut the episode like towards the end to do a bonus half. You can listen to the whole thing there. And yeah, man, I've been doing a lot of stand-up. I'm so lucky. I've been doing like two shows a night for like, you know, 2 weeks straight. Which is great. It's I'm really writing a lot. I want to shoot a half hour this year. Get these fucking clips out. Like I feel very good about the stand-up. I was in Tampa playing a fucking... I don't even know if I've recorded a pod since I was in fucking Tampa. I don't think I even told you guys about that. I had Jesus Christ, I had the scariest comedy experience in Tampa. Shout out to Side Splitters. They're the fucking best. Have I told this story? I went down to fucking Side Splitters, which is a great club in Tampa, and they open up a new room. It's inside of an actual movie theater. I didn't know that. I didn't know that when I got there. It was like literally even if they would have told me, I wouldn't have processed in my brain like, oh, you're performing on stage in an actual movie theater. And that's what it was. And I'll be honest with you, it like weirdly works. The sound is great. They got it to sound right, which is so important for comedy. Everybody's in these huge, comfortable seats. It was actually like a lot of fun. And I was headlining every night except for one. One, they booked another headliner. And, it's such a funny thing because I came into that weekend going, this is going to be great. I'm on the fucking road. I'm excited to be doing these shows. You know, I'm going to get to do long sets every night. When you're headlining, you're doing at least 45 minutes. Like, this is going to be fucking great. I'm going to work on a lot of material. I was feeling so good about it, right? First few shows go by, they're all fun. I'm having a great time on all of them. I'm getting stronger and stronger. It's getting easier for me to hit like 55 minutes. I'm actually having fun on these shows. Then one night, the other headliner comes in, and this guy's been doing comedy a long time. You know, he was like, he's been around forever. He's like 59. I was hanging out with him. I was like, this guy's, you know, fucking cool guy. And he was headlining that night. He had two shows. One of them sold out. One of them like almost sold out. And he was on stage. He was like making fun of the fact that he was like, you know, 59 years old performing at a movie theater or whatever the fuck. And he's making like, you know, a good amount of cash for the night. He's walking away with a few G's at least. A few hour drive from his house. Not a bad... But then the next morning it hit me. I was like, holy shit, dude. Am I going to be 59 years old? Fucking standing on stage in a movie theater? Like, it scared the shit out of me. For the first time in my life, I got like real career fear. You know what I mean? Because, like, to get in, to do something like comedy, to get into a dream pursuit, you have to have this unshakable determination that nothing bad will ever happen to you. You know what I mean? Like, that's the level of delusion it takes to get even into it. And then I'm fucking, it hits me the next day, and I start, like, legitimately, like, having a fucking panic attack. I'm like, oh my God, you know, like the fucking, like your vision gets tight. You start sweating out of parts you didn't know existed on you. You get sweat in between your toes. I'm like, oh, you know, it's funny. I'm like a white chick inside. As soon as I start sweating, I'm like, I need juice. I start walking to a fucking 7-Eleven because this is Tampa, Florida. This is the nicest shit we got. I'm like in a fucking, I'm like, I'll get a fucking kombucha and, you know, that'll fix this horrible feeling inside of my chest. I walk into the 7-Eleven to calm down. There's like a shirtless guy with fucking, you know, wave tattoos on his back. He's pouring fucking nacho cheese on his hot dogs while fighting his girlfriend. And I'm like, this isn't helping. I'm not feeling better. I go back to the fucking depressing hotel I'm staying at. It's a fucking Best Western. Holy shit, dude. I'm sitting by the pool. Kids are screaming. I am in a full-blown attack. This pineapple kombucha is not helping. And I start texting. I text two friends. Both have been on the podcast. Shane Gillis and Ian Lara. Both, like, real, you know, fucking great comedians. On the road a lot. I respect them a lot. I look up to them. And I text them both. I'm like, dude. I send them the same text. I go, oh, my God. I just worked with another comic. Am I going to be 59 years old standing on stage in a movie theater saying the N-word? Like, is that going to be me? It scared the shit out of me. Yeah, the last comic is wild guy. He goes for it. But I text this, like, fear to fucking Shane and Ian. I'm like, dude, is that how it ends? Like, am I going to kill myself in a Best Western? Is this what it's all leading to? Is me, I'm going to be on stage in a fucking movie theater? And like, it's funny how different personalities give you different advice. Shane right away is like, nah, dude, you're going to be fine. That's not how it ends. Ian Lara, practical guy, is like, yeah, that's probably how it ends, homie. Like, that's probably what's going to happen. And I'm just like deeper in the fucking, and I got to get ready. You know, by the way, diarrhea this whole time. I've never not had diarrhea while stressed. So you add that on top of this, and I'm just freaking the fuck out. I got to be on stage in an hour. I have to do two shows, an hour apiece. I'm stressed the fuck out. I feel like I'm seeing where my career is going to end. One day they're going to play back this audio and be like, yeah, that's where it fucking ended. You jumped into a Best Western bathtub with a toaster. And, you know, then I got back on stage and it was like fun again. And then meanwhile, every fucking night I'm going to there's nothing to do. There's nothing for me to fucking do. So it's either you go to, in Tampa, you're either going to strip clubs or you're going to the fucking casino. Every night I'm at the casino losing money playing poker. I hadn't played poker in fucking months. I was over it. I was like, this blows. I'm sick of losing money. Now I'm just dumping my fucking paycheck into the casino. Just dumping it. So it was like the worst week ever. It was like the fucking worst week. I get back to New York and I'm like, God damn it. Like, just such a chaotic time. But that was but you know, since the funny thing is like, went into that weekend being like, this, I'm finally getting on the road. I'm getting paid to fucking headline the weekends. This is great. If I could do two of these a month, that'd be fucking awesome. And then you walk out of there, you're like, holy shit, is this, you see your own mortality. You're like, is this where it fucking ends? I don't want to be 59 and, you know, I love you guys, but I don't want to be 59 and being like, yeah, you know, Chicago was fun. The Chuckle Hut was great. That is a terrifying thought. We need to get successful quick. Time is running out. I'm 24. I don't know how much fucking time I've got left. So Share the podcast. That's the fucking moral of the story. If you're share the pod, take a screenshot, post on your Instagram story. If you have an email, send it to thelevfirstshow@gmail.com. Make sure you're following me on Instagram. Follow us on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. Because I don't want to be 59 on stage in a movie theater. I had a great time there. No offense to Sidesplitters. I love you guys. I'll do this gig. It was a lot of fun. Thank you to the fans who came out. But I'm just saying, is that reasonable? Is that fucking reasonable? That's terrifying. I don't know. That's fucking terrifying, dude. And this is the thing. And like, I'm not hot anymore. You know what I mean? I'm not fucking hot. Like, I look okay. I got a decent face. But you know, listen. Let me tell you how this business works. There's not a lot of producers that want to have lunch anymore. When I was a sexy 21-year-old, a lot of producers wanted to have a little lunch. Do you want to go to Soho House? Have lunch? They just want to be around hot kids. That's the whole game. So, the kettlebell, I just dragged it back out from under the bed. I'm looking for the right producer to rape me. Because I'm trying to get in a fucking movie. Like, that's where we're at. Put me in a movie. I'll save that money up. I'll probably lose a playing fucking poker. And, I'll hire a fucking trainer. And I'll just work on comedy for the rest of my life. I'll just keep doing stand-up. Because that I love. And I happen to think I'm pretty fucking good at it. Speaking of which, we just did, I did Colin Turrell. My man, he just recorded a fucking album. He asked me to host the show for him. It was so fun. Keep your eyes peeled for that. Make sure you're supporting Colin Turrell. And yeah, man, like on top of that, I've been trying to get like new inspiration. Just trying to fucking get creative inspiration. Because the stand-up is the one thing that's really working. It's cooking. Got the new material. Got this. Got that. So Chappelle was at the stand all weekend. And of course, I got to pop by. Dave's not going to be able to party without me. I got to fucking pop by. So he had already taped the special. He was just working on new material. And it's like, as a young comic, it's so amazing. Like, you know, when I go headline, I'm like, all right, I think I got 45 minutes here. This will work good. And then, you do the shows. You're like, oh, okay, I can hit like 55 minutes, an hour. This is fun. Every time you get back on the road, you're doing less jokes that you hate, more jokes that you actually like. You keep sharpening the sword. The axe becomes stronger. But I have to approach it without much time. You know what I mean? I have to have a certain amount. I can't go up there with 15 minutes and bullshit it. But that's like what Chappelle will do. If Chappelle's like working shit out, he'll just bring two packs of cigarettes, 12 minutes of jokes, and then he'll do 2 hours of just the funniest shit you've ever seen. He's just that good. Like, we were all, comics always, like, huddling, like, going to the AV room, huddle along the wings just to watch him work. It's really fucking incredible from a comics perspective, how Chappelle works. It really is just incredible watching him do it. I mean, he's doing new jokes about, like, fucking Cosby it's just all so funny. It's so funny. And he makes it look so easy and so comfortable and so simple. That's the big thing with him. I feel like as comics, a lot of times we overthink, like, do I want to be saying this? Do I want to have a joke about bananas in my act? Like, we're very, self-jerk off about all this shit. But he just does it so simply. He takes the world, it filters through him, he puts out a simple yet perfectly worded take on it. And it's just like perfect, It's like a great boxer. He's just throwing the right punches with the right timing. It's really something. So we were watching that. And I felt very inspired comedically watching him work shit out. Watching him work on his material. And, he always throws parties after his shows. I've been before. A lot of fun. You always see like a lot of celebrities pop by. It's a cool thing. It's a really cool thing. And it was a good vibe. The last, it was a fucking good vibe. And then finally on the final night, it's Talib Kweli's birthday. And he hangs around with Dave a lot. They're good friends. So I figure, tonight there's probably going to be some cool people showing up to this party. So I text my buddy. I was like, how's it looking tonight? anybody cool popping by? And he was like, Kanye just walked in. I was like, shut the fuck up. It's not even funny. My friend was like, dude, I swear, Kanye's here. I never got an Uber so quickly in my life. I flew down there, dude. And sure enough, I get to this fucking party and Kanye fucking West is there. And like, mind you, these are still COVID parties. Like, there's 50, 60 people in this motherfucker in one room. And it's fucking Kanye West, like, childhood hero, one of my biggest inspirations ever. I've been defending this guy since I was fucking 12. It's funny, like, everybody has their Kanye album that they, like, grew up listening. Like, for me, the first album I bought, I'm so young that it was fucking Yeezus. That was, like, I was in high school, and that shit came out. And I went to Target and bought that shit. By the way, my local Target where I grew up, a man once walked in. His ex-girlfriend worked as a cashier at this Target. This guy walked in and shot her. Just fucking murked her right there in Target. Like, middle of a shift. And I went on Facebook and I was immediately posted. She probably shouldn't have been wearing a bullseye. That was 13-year-old shithead me. That was... So anyways, the Yeezus album, I fucking fell in love with. I love Kanye so much. And I'm just seeing this guy and he's just... You're just certain... There's only two people I've ever seen in life when you're looking at them, like celebrities that... You know, in comedy, it's such a small game. You see a lot of famous people. You get very used to it. It's very... You know, it's not a fucking big deal. The only two that I have seen, though, that where you're like... You can just tell by their presence they are a superstar in terms of famous people was Madonna and Kanye. When you're around, there's just an aura, an essence. I don't know how much of it is my own mental projecting, but I'm telling you, like, when I saw Madonna, I was like, oh, I get it. She's a pop star. I get it. That's how I felt when I saw Kanye. I was like, that is a star. They just carry themselves in a completely different way. Kanye is there with a fucking hoodie on, hat down, big black sunglasses, fucking cool ass outfit, just arms crossed, just talking to Busta Rhymes. Comedian legends don't carry themselves that way. Like, we'll never be that cool. You know what I mean? Chappelle is like a straight legend. But, you know, it's also this big fucking controversy right now with his last special, which was meant to wrap up and tell people to shut the fuck up, I think. I think that was the whole point of his last special. Because he looks at all the last, the whole Netflix run, he looks at it as one piece. So this was like him going, all right, here's the period on it. For all y'all that were bitching about the first few, let me find a way to beautifully wrap it. And I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the last special. It was very different, but he said it was going to be different. It was a mission statement for him to just close off this collection. And I didn't think I wasn't... I mean, look, I am obviously a white privileged man who's mostly straight. I think that should be a disclaimer. But I was not offended by anything said. I don't know. I'm still shocked, like, you know, as a Jew, the space Jews joke at me kind of, like, rubbing my neck a little bit. But other than that, like, what am I going to get upset? Just watch something else. And I get it. I'm not trans yet. I understand what's going to offend me as a straight white. But I don't think I don't think he was intentionally trying to upset anybody. And I think that gets left out of the shit. And now there's all these stories like Netflix fucking fired a trans person for tweeting against the special. And then I heard that nobody's reporting that it was actually because she like stormed into an executive meeting or some shit. Also, I didn't look up this trans person. I don't know if this is a she or a he or however they identify. I have no idea. So don't try to catch your boy on that. I thought it was a trans woman. I have no idea. It's probably a trans woman. Women are usually the ones complaining. You know, Yeah, throw in a little hack joke every once in a while. But yeah, dude, when I was like, I was around Kanye and just being around that guy, I didn't, you know, I'm not going to fucking talk to him. If I talked to him, one of his security guards would just shoot me. Is that the Lev Fur show? Yeah, but it's just crazy to be around that. I felt inspired. I was like, man, this guy has fucking accomplished so much. Such a creative. I should pick the podcast back up. And then it took me another 2 weeks. Inspiration is fleeting. Discipline is not. I got notes all over my fucking computer and shit now. I'm keeping a notebook. Look at this note right here. You see that camera? Why is it not? Fucking focus. Focus. But you see what that says? No porn. That's it. No more porn. No more porn. I'm doing a no porn, no poker. So yeah, man. Shout out to Dave Chappelle. I think he truly is. I think he's the GOAT. I think he's the GOAT. Louis's probably my favorite, but I think Chappelle is the GOAT. Yeah, fucking. Speaking of GOATs, Many Saints of Newark came out. What a fucking piece of shit that movie was. Have you seen this? I'm going to go ahead and spoil it. I'm going to spoil it because you shouldn't watch it. It's so bad that you shouldn't even like watch it because it's bad. You shouldn't watch it on the hope that maybe it sucks, but it's enjoyable. It's not. It just sucks. It just fucking sucks. What a steaming piece of shit this movie is. Holy shit. You know I'm a huge Sopranos fan. I take a lot of credit. I feel like I've turned a lot of people onto this show. I feel like I've turned a lot of people that wouldn't normally watch The Sopranos onto The Sopranos. It's the fucking greatest show of all time as far as I'm concerned. The trailer for this movie looked great. I thought it was going to be a lot of fun. Then I'm 30 minutes into this piece of shit. And I'm like, I don't think I can watch the rest of this. Like, this is just so bad. None of the stories wrap up together. There's no point in them telling anything they're telling you in the fucking movie. There's no point in them telling you any part of it. None of the story matters. None of it is relevant in any way. They're just shoehorning in all these fucking old lines from the show, and it's all so forced. It is terrible. It is fucking terrible. They do an hour and a half, no, 2 hours of fucking setup of this rivalry between a black dude in the community and a white dude in the community, and it never resolves. It never and then all of a sudden just the main guy just gets killed for a completely unrelated bullshit thing. It is so... This movie is terrible. Like, it is like crazy, dude. David Chase, the fucking original creator of The Sopranos, he went on like a 600 podcast run. He did every fucking podcast in the industry talking about this movie. It's like, man, if a movie this shit was coming out, I wouldn't... If my name was attached to such a shit movie, I would just be chilling in my house. What a steaming piece of shit this movie was. Like, you know what I mean? It's so frustrating when it's like, oh, here's 2 hours of buildup. This is about two different races and the conflicts and the emerging times and the riots in Newark. And then none of it, like, makes any sense together. None of it intertwines. None of it resolves. Like, the women in the movie, like, the main chick just randomly cheats with the other guy for like out of nowhere for no reason, like never addresses why, how did they start hooking up together? Nah, let's just, why show any of that? It is a fucking terrible movie, dude. Holy shit. I honestly, like, Jesus Christ, dude. I can't believe they released that piece of shit. It's just disrespectful. It's frankly, it's just fucking disrespectful. Even if it was like a 7, I'd be like, all right, you know what? Like, at least it was fun. It just was. No part of the fucking movie was fun. It sucked. Everybody sucked in it. Most of the actors sucked major dick in this film. Don't watch it. If you want to watch a great mob movie, there's they just put on Netflix, Once Upon a Time in America. It's 4.5 days long. It is a masterpiece, a true masterpiece. It's directed by Sergio Leone, who does the score? I think it's like Ennio Morricone, whatever the fuck this guy's name is. But it is unbelievable. It's really unbelievable. Watch it. It is an old masterpiece, a fucking masterpiece of film. It's one of those movies, the second you finish watching, you're like, I want to rewatch that. It's just great. And it's deep, and there's big twists. It's just wonderful. It's a beautiful, delicate film. So check that out, Once Upon a Time in America, if you want to see a fucking great mob movie. And then I went and saw James Bond in theaters. Have you seen James Bond yet? It was decent. I almost cried at the end, I'm not gonna lie. It was a decent send off to Daniel Craig. The movie's not great. Again, a lot of wasted time in this movie. But it's satisfying in the end. It's fun in the end. Here's one thing that really bugged me. They bring in a new 007. She's this black woman. And she's a very unlikable character in the film. But, like, you know, they're like, okay, they're basically like, the new 007 is going to be this black chick. I'm like, all right, whatever. Diversity. Do your thing. I don't care. What do I give a shit? Yeah, there's a lot of, you know. People, I have no problem with people being, you know, people being represented on screen. You know what I mean? Like, bring in all kinds of diversity. I don't give a shit. I don't fucking care. It's good. It's all good. But here's what bugged the shit out of me. This new agent, she's supposed to be the new 007, right? Her character is like she's like literally dresses like Lady Gaga. She has giant black sunglasses, like those celebrity sunglasses. She's got like one leather glove on, huge, loud, like, outfit, like a giant white leather jacket with like, it bugged the shit out of me. Cause I was like, you're supposed to be a secret agent. You're supposed to literally be a fucking MI6 government secret agent that's supposed to stop Kim Jong-un from shooting a fucking nuclear birthday cake or whatever that fat fuck is going to shoot off. And I'm like, and she's just like, just voguing, like, with a fucking machine gun. It's like, at least, like, make her a little more low-key. Like, it's fucking crazy. It's just like all logic flew out with that. And I get it. I sound like a fucking idiot because I'm like, where was the logic in this James Bond movie where the villains are usually made of gold? But I don't know. That really bugged me. It's like, you're supposed to be a fucking secret agent. You're like, what do you think of this new, what do you think of this fucking new Givenchy top? If I push this button here, a dove flies out of it. It's like, you're a fucking government agent. I don't know. I just thought it was a little silly. And I would say that no matter what race this character was, just a little fucking nuts. Like if they brought in like even if they brought in another white guy, I mean, I'm sure like the only way they could bring in another white guy Bond is like, he's got to be gay. That's what Superman's gay now. Whatever. I don't even give a shit. Do your thing. Do your thing. I don't fucking care. I have no problem with Superman being gay. I don't care at all. But if Clark Kent was walking around with a gigantic fucking, a giant glitter S all over his shit, and he wore the cape as fucking Clark Kent too, I'd be like, yo, you're a superhero, motherfucker. You gotta be low-key in real life. That's the only time you could tell a gay guy to tone it down a little bit. You'd be like, yo, you've got a secret identity, motherfucker. You're a superhero. Chill out. Everybody's gonna know it's you. You got a glitter, you got a hot-ass cape on right now, and it's brunch. You have brunch with a cape on. So that was a little ridiculous. I think we just wrote a bit. I think we just wrote a fucking bit. We have to try that out. I've been pissing off so many of my girlfriend's friends. It's unbelievable. I can't imagine how. I'm such an agreeable person, as Jordan Peterson would say. I get along great with everyone. I have tame opinions. Dude, it's so funny. My girl's like, I want all my friends to love you and see what I see in you. I'm like, every time I show up, it's like a fucking argument about the wage gap. I can't help it. I can't help myself. I'm a confrontational person. I like to argue. I like to debate. I like to be right. I don't know. I'm just like incapable of... Well, you know what? I'll say this. It's only like if an argument presents itself and I think the other person has a bad opinion on something. Then I'm like, let's dive into it. Let's argue about this. But it's, you know, only certain personalities are like, yeah, let's just chill, have fun, get, you know. I'm just like a rough around the edges personality. I still want to talk about pussy. I'm not going to sit there cordially. I'm not a sit around cordially and talk to your friends kind of guy. It really kills me. I don't like doing it. I don't like pretending I'm like this. Oh, yes, my answer. Of course, yes, everything is wonderful. I am just not into that. Every relationship I've ever been in, this has been a problem. It's been a problem. You know who else has been a problem? Just really quickly, Tyson Fury, heavyweight champion of the fucking world, the GOAT. I don't know if you saw that fight, Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder 3. He destroyed that bum for the third time. Deontay's a terrible boxer, horrendous boxer. He has the power of God in his right hand, and it wasn't enough. So shout out Tyson Fury one time. We'll do this last thing, and then we're going to jump into the Patreon half. I was thinking today, it cracked me up about how men date and how so many women just like don't get what we are and how we date. And this like it popped in my head this way. I met this woman recently. She's 30 years old, lives at home, but she's beautiful, beautiful woman. Works like a shit job. And it's funny, but this is the way the male brain works. You meet a 30-year-old, lives at home, works a shit job, but she's gorgeous. The male brain goes, she's perfect. You get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what we are. I've been with my chick for like 2 years. Not all of that exclusively. A year exclusively, maybe, right? I don't know what the fuck she does. When I'm not there, I have no idea what occupies her life. I heard that she moved. But that's what we are. That's what we are. And with that, let's jump into the fucking Patreon. And those of you that are just here for the regular episode, I love the shit out of you. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Please show some love. Share it online. Tell some friends about it. Send it to some friends. Make sure to come to the stand on the 27th. Come support Love, Fur, and Friends. Consider joining the Patreon. You get all this shit ad-free, bonus episodes. We're hitting the fucking tarmac running. And just show some love for the show. Leave a 5-star rating on iTunes. I don't know if that does anything. I have no idea. Mostly subscribe on YouTube, join the Patreon. And make sure you're following me on Instagram. And let's fucking, and I love you guys, man. I'll see you next week. Down.
Thank you.